Hello and welcome to The Transforming Word, a presentation of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio. Our teacher, Dr. Mike Spalding, is studying through the entire Bible. We will be looking at the impact the Bible has had on Christians in the past and how it can change our lives today. Now let's go with Pastor Mike and let the Word transform our hearts.
Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, 176 verses. What I didn't share last week is you can go study this on your own. It's not, this isn't the Chuck Missler hour or anything like that, but it's broken down into sections of 8 verses, and you'll notice that. And your Bible may have, for example, what I'm talking about, just above verse 1 of 119, you may see a Hebrew letter and the English transliteration of that, Aleph, A-L-E-P-H. Do you have that in your Bibles? Okay. And then you look down just above verse 9, and you have another Hebrew letter, and then you have the transliterated English Beth, which means, by the way, house. Now, what you're seeing here, and then so look at verse 17, you see another Hebrew letter, and then Gamil. The construction of Psalm 119 is an acrostic, and the author has started the first 8 verses. They all start with the Hebrew Aleph, and then the next 8 verses with Beth, and then the next 8 verses with Gamil, and it's an acrostic, and he does that throughout. It follows throughout the entire book, and then it comes back again. And that was one method of prose or poetry or writing that the Hebrews utilized. So starting at verse 9 of Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? And then the question's answered, by keeping it according to your word. Now, one of the things that I was impressed about when I was reading this particular passage last night was the importance of training our children, young children, from a young age, from the time that they're old enough to know anything, teaching them in the ways of the Lord, and the benefit of that. We're commanded in the Scriptures to teach our children about the Lord, to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. I think I shared Sunday, I was reminded of this again yesterday when I had a little, what is she? I'm not going to say any names, but she maybe 6? Came up to me Sunday before church, and she had her little memory verse card that she brought with her from last week's Sunday school, and she wanted to recite. She had 2 memory verses wrote down on there, and she wanted to recite her memory verses to me. And I got to tell you something. I live for those moments. Those, believe it or not, those are ministry highlights for me. When I have little kids that are being taught and nurtured in our children's ministry, come to me and they want to recite the memory verses, the things that they're being instructed in our children's ministry by our children's teachers, I just give praise and glory to God, because we're doing something right when you're teaching children and they want to seek somebody out to show them, I'm learning the Word. That is an amazing thing. When we do that, brothers and sisters, think about it. We know as adults that God's words, God's precepts, God's commandments will keep us from evil if we'll follow them, if we'll be obedient to them. But think about how important it is to train up children, to teach them the Word of God, to instill that in their hearts. And as they grow up, that Word takes root in their hearts. And guess what? It'll keep them from some of the things. You've heard part of my testimony before. I'm sure your testimonies, some of your testimonies are very similar to my experiences of being in the world. If you have from a very young age the Word of God taught to you and abiding in you, it's going to keep you from a lot of that heartache. One of my daughters said, "You know, Dad, I am so thankful that I was brought up in a home that you taught me all of these things, God's precepts, and not only that, but you modeled them in front of me." Now, she told me that after one particular service where I was sharing a little bit about my background and what I'd come out of, and she says, "Dad, I don't know you as that person. That person that you talk about before Christ." I said, "Isn't that a wonderful thing?" How do we keep our young people pure? By teaching them the Word of God. That is the responsibility of the church, and then beyond that, the primary responsibility, of course, is the parents, right? It's the parents. The church is to come alongside and assist the parents and teach a consistent message to our young people. So how can young people keep their way pure? By keeping it according to the Word of God. God will never lead us astray, will He? His Word will always direct us in the right path. I'm reminded of that scripture when, just as soon as I say that, that says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It guides the way in life. It guides through those storms, through those dark hours, through the fog sometimes, you know. When life gets a bit confusing, especially on the ethical or moral side, what do you do? Well, we want to train our children that the first place you turn when you want to answer those kinds of questions is where? To the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Pray. What is the Holy Spirit? I was talking to someone today, and they're in a dilemma. What do we do? And I said, "You're not asking for my opinion, so I'm not going to give it to you. Instead, what I'm going to encourage you to do is pray and ask the Lord what He would have you do. Because I don't want to influence you one way or another. I have an opinion, but I want you to hear from the Lord. So pray, and I know that as you pray, He will give you guidance. He will show you which way to go." So we always go to the Word. Keep our ways, our path, according to the Word. "With all my heart, I have sought you." You ever been in that place where your heart just aches because you want to love God more than what you're loving? You just want to wrap your arms and just not let go of Him. You ever been in that place where you just had an aching in your soul to love God? Your heart was seeking Him with everything. I've been in that place. You know what's amazing about that place? Is the love and the comfort, the assurance of the presence of God that He gives us. It's like crawling up on your daddy's lap. It's an amazing place. When our heart is at that place where we seek Him. "Do not let me wander from your commandments." I'm reminded at this moment, reading that, when Jesus said that the love of God will constrain you. What does that mean? Well, it means that God's commandments, His precepts, His law will keep us safe. It's not restrain, because, well, I don't want to speak for everybody, but you can run and run from God, right? and be a believer? You can. Now, I'm of the opinion, you may hold a different opinion, but I'm of the opinion that God will let you run so far. And each of us, my experience has been, as I've lived my life and watched other people live their Christian life, is that we all have different lengths of rope that God... Because he'll let some people just run off and they're a mess. They're in the world. They've picked up the habits they used to have. And we think, was that person ever saved at all? And then other people, man, they can't step outside of like right here and God's yanking them. You know what I'm saying? Oh, God, don't let me wonder. You know your heart's in the right place when your heart cries out to God and says, Lord, I don't want to wander from your side ever, not even a step. Don't let me wander from your commandments. Constrain me with your love. Your word I have treasured in my heart. And here's why, because it's a safeguard against sin. Reminds me of that illustration, the angel and the devil on the shoulders. When you have the Word of God in you, and by the way, how does that come about anyway? Because I've known Christians that they've been a Christian 5, 10, 15 years, and they're really still basically illiterate. They don't have this. They don't have a recall. They don't have a comprehension. They don't really understand what the Bible's talking about. Well, how does that happen? Well, I think you already know the answer to that, right? They don't spend any time in the Word. It's like anything else. You're not going to know it, and especially when it comes to the Scriptures. God says that we will find Him, we will know Him more as we're in this book. That He will draw us closer, that He'll open our eyes to more understanding as we're in the Scriptures. God speaks to us through His Word. Prime example, and I've heard this 100 times if I've heard it once, and I know you probably have too. You've probably experienced this. In your reading or your studying, you'll come across something and all of a sudden, and you've read this 100 times, but all of a sudden, that one day you're reading it, it's like right in the middle of this verse, these words are bold and they just leap off the page at you and they just hit you square between the eyes with a meaning like, how's come I didn't see that before? God's timing. And isn't it remarkable when He does that? It's exactly what you needed to hear. Treasure God's Word in your heart. You are able to treasure something because you possess it, and you're only able to possess it in this context when you study it, when you meditate on it, when you chew on it, when you think about it. The Word says, think about it when you rise up and when you go to bed and all the time in between. Now, I know we're busy. Everybody's busy. I've got responsibilities at work just like many of you do. But you know what? I find and have found, it's been my experience over the years, that God still breaks into that focus on work and the task at hand and all of that and reminds me that I belong to Him. And He does that throughout the day. And you can still, I call them arrow prayers. You know, you got a chance just to pull one out of the quiver and... whew, send up a praise real quick. You may not have 5 or 10 minutes because you're doing something, or you need to keep, you know, eyes and mind on task because you don't want to miss that nail. But you've got time to send up an arrow prayer. Thanks, God, for breaking in to my focus and concentration and reminding me that you love me. That you're right here on the work site with me. You're right here with me as I'm doing this or waiting on this person. We're able to treasure God's Word in our heart when we meditate on it. That's the point. And when we have it treasured, when we when we possess His Word, it is a safeguard against sin. How so? Well, you know this by experience, don't you? When you have the Word of God abiding in you, when you've spent time in the Word and the enemy comes against you, what's the first thing that happens? Doesn't the Holy Spirit well up inside of you and out comes some Scripture? The shield. Out comes the Word. The Holy Spirit brings back to our memory exactly what we need at the moment that we need it. And when we experience that, verse 12, we give blessing and glory to God. Blessed are you, O Lord. He says, give me more. Teach me your statutes. Give me more. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. What is that? Is that not witnessing? Is that not evangelism? How many of you have ever been driving down the road and you got praise and worship music on in the car, and next thing you know, your hands are up, your eyes are closed, and you're worshiping, and all of a sudden you realize, no, I better at least keep my eyes open on the road. Anybody ever done that? I wonder what people think, because you know somebody has seen you do that. They've either been behind you, because if I see that, I know what's going on. People's hands raised up in the air. I know, hey, God bless you, brother, or God bless you, sister, because you are worshiping the same Lord, my Lord. Bless that person today up there, Lord. Make sure their eyes are open when they're driving.
At least one.
At least one, yeah. Worshiping, it just lays you out, doesn't it? It's very humbling. All of our troubles and anxieties just kind of fade into the background, don't they? He tells us in those moments, I'm here to strengthen you for what you're facing today. He deserves our worship, but understand what He gives us in return. As we worship, we get our mind right for what's before us. We become strengthened. We become encouraged, edified. We're reminded, hey, there's not a battle that we go through. There's not a trial that we face that God's not in it with us. Now that's encouraging to me, because sometimes you can look at things that you've got to do or accomplish, or look at the trouble that you know you're going to have to deal with, and you think, God, He says, hey, I got it. And He does. So I will give Him praise. Blessed are you, O Lord. Give me more. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I want to testify to your goodness. I want to share Christ with other people, because I want them to have this blessedness that I have. We live in some very dangerous and dark times, don't we? It's become increasingly that way. And yet, Christ hasn't returned yet, so you know what that means? We're supposed to keep on keeping on. We're supposed to remain faithful and to continue to tell people, I don't care if they push you away 100 times. Guess what? It might be the 101st time when God has prepared their heart to receive what it is you have to say. Now, He may tell you to move on too. I've talked about this before. You know, you're not to be anybody's doormat. You don't need to be physically or verbally assaulted by folks that you're trying to share. He may tell you move on, but that'll be Him telling you that. Other times He wants us to persevere in a relationship and continue to share Christ. I have rejoiced, verse 14, in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, there's somebody who has their mind and their heart right, huh? What he's saying here is, listen, I understand that the goodness and the mercy and the blessings of God far outweigh earthly possessions. Stuff. I understand, and I have rejoiced in this understanding. I think Paul talked about it in the New Testament this way. He says, I have learned to be content. I've learned the secret of contentment. What was this big secret, Paul? What was it that you've learned? Please share that with us. Well, what did he say? He says, whether I've got a lot or whether I've got a little, I praise the Lord. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimony. It isn't about possessions. And the church should never be a place where it's about possessions. We should always be about glorifying the Lord, giving Him praise, welcoming people in that have that same heart, welcoming people in that are searching. Lord, and I've seen Him. I've seen people that are just heartbroken. Life has just beat them down. And they've finally given up. And they're willing. Lord, maybe this was your prayer. Lord, if you really are the Creator, if you're who the Bible says you are, then please save me from this life. I can't do this anymore. I've heard people's testimonies. That's where they're at. They came to the end of themselves, and what they learned then is that was the best place to be. Some people say after you've tried everything else, try God. Well, it's like, listen, you cannot straighten your life out on your own. But God can. Right now, we can be praying for some folks. We've got a group of guys that come fairly regular, but then I'm just going to be frank with you, and it'll be out there on the airwaves one of these days, and who knows what God might do with it, but they're just here to check the box because they're in a program that says they have to do that on Sundays, and you know, that's one of the requirements of the program they're in, and you can tell. But I also have to say that God has touched several of them. God has spoken to several of them. You can see it in their countenance. You can see it in their posture. And you can see it week by week. They're the most disinterested person when they first show up, but I've seen a transformation in several of them over time to where, and I had to refrain from, you know, hallelujah in the middle of the teaching, but they'll actually be taking notes. And before it was, you know, this or I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. God is good to reach out to people, to speak to them, and that's my hope, that's my prayer. Lord, they may be here and they think they're only here because they have to be, but I know you're even greater than that. You can reach them even in the midst of that attitude, and you can show them their brokenness and their need. Because God can make it real clear, can't He? They can tune me out, but they cannot tune God out.
That's all we have time for today on The Transforming Word with Dr. Mike Spalding. If you'd like to listen to the message again, mail your request to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. Or you can go to our website. The address is ccloohio.org. If you like, you can email Pastor Mike. His address is pastormike@ccloohio.org. Again, if you'd like to write us, send your letter to The Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. please include the call letters of this station when you write. If you're in the Lima, Ohio area and would like to join us as we study through the Word of God, our services are held on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima, Ohio. Until we meet again next time, let the Word transform your heart. The Transforming Word is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima, Ohio.